Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with 12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports, with two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor, select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with 12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. I am joined, as always, by G. Hay Wiley, Armani Buckets, and Brandon Deutsch. How are we doing?
You know, I'm awesome. Colorado gets the W. Yeah. Up 1-0 for all my Tampa Bay fans out there. I'm sorry, but not sorry. So I'm ecstatic. I'm good for them because it's been a minute since the West has won at least one Stanley Cup game versus, like, you know, the Stanley Cup in period, right? Yeah. It's been a few years. So
yeah,
go Colorado.
I'm excited for game 6 tonight. No Scott Foster. You know the deal there. Dubs and 6, baby.
I'm a little bummed out because it might be the last day of the NBA season, which is always...
Will.
Yeah.
Unless Tatum has that 40-point, you know, game he has in him, which
don't
is possible. It's possible. I'm giving the Celtics a chance tonight. Not in the series, but tonight.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Let's get to the rundown today, brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with 12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit circasports.com for details. Hit it, G-Hay.
Well, speaking of the Golden State Warriors, they can win their fourth championship. It is a possibility in 8 years tonight as they play the Boston Celtics in game 6 of the NBA Finals. We've talked a lot about this title and what it would mean for Steph Curry's legacy, but let's look at the Warriors as a team. If they win their fourth title in their sixth trip to the finals over the past 8 seasons, where do you guys put the Warriors in terms of all-time great dynasty?
Right up there, you know, because they're not done yet. I'm not saying that they're going to go out, they're going to go on a separate run, but I mean, if you compare it to, for example, the Lakers, they won 3 straight titles, and then with, you know, so that was with Shaq and Kobe, and then with Powell and Kobe, they won 2 more. This is a heck of a run.
Do you consider that 1 or 2 dynasties?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So I consider it 1 with a break. Now, it's 2 separate teams, but I would compare it to when you look at the Chicago Bulls. They had the 91, 92, 93 team, and then they had the 96, 97, 98 team. The only constants in those teams was Jordan, Pippen, and Phil Jackson. So with the Lakers teams, it was Kobe, Fisher, who's, you know, and then Phil. So I would say 1, but that 2-year gap was so extreme. But yeah, so I'm going to consider it 1. This team's not done. And again, to your point, it's a little bit different where they won without KD, they won with KD, and now this is a new team, but same core group. I'll put them right up there. You know, I don't know how long this run will go. Six trips to the finals is incredible. And the big thing there is, and we've talked about this before, they blew a 3-1 series lead to Cleveland, could have, should have won there. And if they're healthy, if Klay doesn't go down, if KD doesn't go down, they certainly beat Toronto. So as impressive as this run could be, this is one of the all-time great teams.
Yeah, and I mean, Steph Curry's got a lot more in the tank, you know, with the progression of Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga next season, James Wiseman's going to come back, especially if Looney leaves in free agency. They can slot in Wiseman in that role, and he'd probably be able to do that. He's more agile than Looney. He can shoot the three ball. I think Wiseman still has a good future in the NBA despite injury concerns and people kind of ruling him out. He was the number two pick for a reason. They've got a great future, and they have picks in this draft, too. You know they're going to get some sleepers. You just know. They're just the most well-run organization in the NBA right now. We talk about the Spurs in the 2000s, right? The Lakers earlier on in the late 90s, early 2000s. And now it's basically the Warriors. This is from the top to the bottom of the organization. The Russell trade, I mean, you get Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga, the pick that becomes Jonathan Kuminga. These are just, that's the difference. You know, Bob Myers, I hate to say it, you know, because I'm a Lakers fan, but Bob Myers is playing chess. Everyone else is playing checkers. That's kind of how this is going. I'd be surprised if the Warriors don't make another run next year, but Dallas is getting better with that trade with Christian Wood. I know we'll get into that. And look, they're not done, but I do rank this dynasty up there with the top. It's not the Bulls.
No.
It's not the Lakers, especially, you know, the Magic Dynasty Lakers and then the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, but it's close. It's definitely up there, and they're not done.
Yeah, I think the difference in this this organization, like you said, Brandon, it starts from the top, and they're doing a bang-up job. They're doing an amazing job by developing all these guys. But I think the difference between this is that they're looking at the future, and they're Belichicking it, right? They're always looking at the future. They're never looking at like, hey, like at least we have Steph and we have Klay and we have Draymond. Like we have the core right here, so let's work with that. They're looking like, you know what? We're not gonna have them forever. Let's go and look at the next generation and like help them develop, and then they'll develop along with the system. So I mean, heck yeah, they're a dynasty,
and I didn't even
among the top.
I didn't even mention Moody. He's going to be pretty good too.
Yeah,
I think that when we look at right now, I wouldn't have them above the Lakers dynasty, the Bulls, obviously, the Lakers in the 80s, and I wouldn't have them above the Spurs dynasty that we just saw. But I do think that they will pass, because of what you mentioned, Brandon, all the youth. I think that they will pass those teams, and I think that they're very close. This might not be a good time to say it, but I still think the Celtics are very much in this series.
Well, yeah, no one's denying that.
And I think that I think the Celtics, when you go to a game,
say it,
seven,
say it with anything, your chest, say it with your chest. If you're confident about the Celtics, just put it out there.
I'm not fully confident, but I do think that they win tonight. I think they force a game seven. And game seven, we know what
anything
happens.
Can happen.
Anything can happen. And I think it's 50-50 at that point, but it's tough to lose.
Where I don't agree with you is they are greater than the Spurs, only because the Spurs never did what I think is the hardest thing to do, is to come back and win it the next year. It is so hard.
They did.
No, they won in 99.
But they lost to the Heat, and then the next year they whooped them. And
they never won back-to-back.
I'll
just show you. Well, that's the key. Yeah, that's the whole point that I was saying. It was the one in 99, 2003, the Lakers won. They won in 2005, the Mavericks won. They won in 2007, the Lakers won. It's just, that is, to me, if you're going to say, where do they rank? Oh, listen, these Spurs are amazing. It is so hard to repeat. So if you won two in a row, certainly the three, that is so hard to do. And we'll talk about Tampa Bay trying to do that. The Lakers have done that. The Chicago Bulls
have
done that.
The Warriors haven't.
They have not.
They haven't.
Really, and I hate to, I mean, because they were so close. Listen, the 3-1 lead they blew, certainly when you blow it at home, when that game seven is at home, you have to close out. The Toronto thing is heartbreaking because you can't do anything about losing to your top players. And again, those guys were done for not only just that series, they were done for the year. With Klay, he was done for 2 years. But so yeah, not better than the Lakers, not better than the Bulls. slotting them above the San Antonio Spurs.
So when we talk about all-time greatness, are you guys more of a longevity matters more? Because that's why I lean Spurs. Or are you more like the pinnacle of this team was better?
Because so I think it's two-part. It's you have to do it over a 10-year period. Or, you know, but here's the thing.
This team is longevity.
They're not done yet. They're kind of in the middle of it. And what they've done so well is that they've built themselves up for sustained success. That's what I really like about it. This is not a, you know, we're going to win a title this year and then you won't, you know, we'll be cap strapped and we don't have a chance. I mean, this team is so good and they're built for the long haul.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, next year, obviously, there's going to be a lot of healthy teams in the West, but we just don't know. They could be back.
We agree a lot, Arash, but this one, I am not with you. Okay. Right now, I take the Spurs. And the other thing that we're not taking into account is the Spurs could have had one more title if Zaza doesn't go under Kawhi's leg in that series.
There's a lot of those.
Oh,
though.
Come on.
There's
that's a like, lot that's of like saying yeah. Toronto. Yeah. You could tell the whole country of Canada that they have zero rings if, like, KD and Clay are healthy.
So the
but
Spurs,
don't tell them that because they'll
the
get
Spurs
mad at you.
One, two, three, four, five. Okay, so if the Warriors win tonight, they will have won four, and they're not done yet. I guess my thing is, like, my thinking is they're not done yet.
Well,
Steph's going to come back. Clay, yeah. You know, we'll see how he comes back and Draymond, and yeah.
But also you mentioned, like, the Kobe was the only constant, and Derek Fisher and Phil Jackson with that Lakers team. With the Spurs, that I don't really count the 99 a part of that dynasty because it's like David Robinson gets hurt for you. You get gifted with Tim Duncan, and then, of course, you're going to win the championship, and then David Robinson isn't on those dynasty teams in the late 2000s, right? So it's like those are completely different teams. Yes, longevity, you argue that, but the Warriors, bro, like, they're not done. They're going to win this championship, probably. I mean, it would help to close out tonight because anything can happen in a game seven, and Ime Udoka is great at making adjustments. No Scott Foster to their advantage, so they should really get it done, but they're not done.
Real quick, so we talked about lists, so I'm going to do a quick one right here. I'm going to say number one, the Jordan Chicago Bulls, because again, I mean, you could kind of say if Jordan doesn't leave and retire, they win
eight,
one more.
Eight
so,
titles, yeah.
So I'm going to lead with them. Showtime Lakers. The Kobe. So I will combine Kobe, Phil Jackson, that 2000 to 2010. And then I'm going to put, well, listen, I mean, I'm not going to go back to the old school Celtics.
That's because we hate. How many good players were in the NBA? The only other team that was good was Jerry West and Elgin Baylor.
They still won.
No.
I mean, you cannot deny that they won all those rings.
Oh, congratulations. The Cowboys won a ton of rings back in the day. They can't even buy a playoff win.
Oh, my God.
We'll give a medal to the Celtics.
That's like saying, you know what? Forget the Patriots. It was long ago. Like, so
that's completely different.
Listen, from 1969 and on, that's what the...
Yes, those are the real championships.
I don't remember the 60s, Jihei. I know we're kind of older, but I'm so... you know, from 1969 and on, the Celtics have won. Listen, I'm going to put the, you know, Bird and, all those teams.
McHale.
So, all right.
Okay, Bird was a bad man. Let's stop with the Bird hate, by the way. Bird's a top five player all time.
Oh, of course. I 100% agree with you on that. Let's move on to the Dodgers pitcher, Tyler Anderson, lost his no-hit bid in the ninth inning last night, giving up a one-out triple to Shohei Ohtani in the Dodgers 4-1 victory over the Angels. Anderson is now 8-0 and threw a career-high 123 pitches, 78 first strikes. He also struck out 8 and walked 2, in lowering his ERA to 2.82. What do you guys think of Anderson, his nearly historic performance?
What an amazing, you know, pitching season for the Dodgers when, you know, you consider that Buehler's out, Clayton Kershaw's been hurt, and they've been getting amazing performances by guys, you know, Tony Gonsolin, Tyler Anderson. This was a special night last night. Again, Dave Roberts has been criticized before for pulling guys, but he knew that this was a once-in-a-career moment for Tyler, and was super bummed for him. Jake Dicker, by the way, was at the game last night. We were texting, and I'm like, oh, my God, two outs away. and your Shohei Ohtani, Brandon. Ruin the night for Tyler Anderson.
Yeah, I just think this is more about the Angels sucking right now than the Dodgers being good. I mean, the Dodgers couldn't hit to save their life in that first game of the series. They got lucky on a Mookie Betts home run and a bases loaded walk. Otherwise, and then Kimbrel. I mean, we're deflecting from the main point. Kimbrel is an awful closer. Awful. Oh, just terrible. Abysmal. Abysmal. Kenley Jansen has 18, 19 saves for the Braves. Braves are winning every game. And the Dodgers are blowing games in the later innings. They're lucky they were playing the Angels. They had their two best pitchers playing the Angels. And, you know, couldn't be worse luck for the Angels to go up against Tony Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson, who have been their two best pitchers. But, I mean,
that's the story, though. I mean, who would have thought going into the season that those would be, like, their top two pitchers?
I mean, it's going to be Kershaw when he gets healthy.
It really has to be Kershaw.
Bueller's stuff has gotten worse, which is weird the past couple of years. The slider still a put-away pitch. But I think Tyler Anderson has always been good. You know, he was just with the Pirates, so there wasn't much really known about him. His changeup is like, I mean, he was throwing it in back hitters, front door. I mean, he can throw it with ease wherever he wants. That's important. He's one of the slow-throwing lefties. The Angels can't hit slow-throwing lefties, ever. They've never been able to hit slow-throwing lefties. So I'm not surprised. This is more of an Angels problem than a Dodgers being dominant. The Dodgers will probably go back to the mean and not look great in the next series. So, and the Angels are going to continue to suck. What a disappointment.
I mean, shouldn't you be used to this by now?
Yeah, well, I'm going to retract my fandom, hopefully, eventually. No. Be no team. I'll just vote for no baseball team.
Is this going to be similar to Armand and his Chicago
Bears?
Yeah.
I mean, the Angels, look, they got at this point, I said it before the season, they should trade. This sounds crazy. They need to trade Mike Trout for a haul of prospects, and they need to trade Shohei Ohtani for a haul of prospects.
Ohtani's in a contract year, so they might just lose him.
Well, they're going to lose him.
Yeah.
I mean, he makes them, maybe keep one of them, especially Ohtani. Like, just trade Trout in his contract, and then you can extend Ohtani, and he'd bring all the Japanese fans in, make a lot of money globally. But, like, they need a haul of prospects. They need to build from the ground up. This organization has been in shambles for years, and it doesn't look like this is going to be the year that we originally thought that they could be good. Their starting pitching is better, but the relief pitching is just abysmal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. Moving on, the organization, though, that is not in shambles, Colorado Avalanche. It looks like a runaway train that has been the Colorado Avalanche this postseason. Would easily roll on early in game one of the Stanley Cup final as the Avs took a 2-0 and then a 3-1 lead against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay did force the game into overtime, though, before the Avs won 4-3. It was Colorado's sixth straight win this postseason. It's just one game, guys, but do you think Tampa Bay can come back and win their third straight?
They can. I don't think that they will. And GA, you know, just because if Colorado takes a 2-0 lead, it doesn't mean that the series is over. That being said, Colorado is not New York. Colorado has been the best team I felt this season. An amazing run that they've had. But in that game, they did show the heart of a champion, a back-to-back champion trying to go for three straight. When you fall down 2-0 on the road, when you go down 3-1 on the road, what does it take to come back? And so they did. They scored the goals, tied the game up, did not win it. I am going with Tampa Bay in game two, tying that series, going back to Tampa. But it's going to be tough because Colorado has not just been the best team this postseason, they've been the best team this entire season. So unless something crazy happens, and I don't think it will, I think Colorado does win, but I'm hoping for a good series.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to lie to you. I basically talked to all my Tampa Bay fans and said, you're going to get gentlemanly swept. I initially said you were going to get swept, but I was like, that's just insane.
Tampa probably has a game. They're so experienced.
Yeah. So that's their other saving grace, right? They have the best goalie in hockey right now.
Yeah.
Tampa does. So that has definitely been their saving grace throughout the whole entire Eastern Conference playoffs. But Colorado has the best two players.
That's a confidence killer when you take the game to OT and you lose to the best team a much better team.
Well, I think that it happened because there was a penalty at the very, very end of the third.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that hurt them. That had to really, really just stick because it's just a mental mistake. It wasn't
It's basically like the 95 Bulls. I wouldn't say the Avalanche are that talented, but like in basketball terms versus an experienced like Larry Bird Celtics team.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado's been due though, man. Like they have been
due. By far the best roster I've seen in the NHL and I think a couple of years, in my opinion. Like this is a dominant roster.
I agree. I mean, the only saving grace, again, that Tampa has, not only do they have the best goalie in hockey at this current moment in time, but they also have experience. Right? They have all these guys that have already been. You have McDonough that's already been in there. You have so many guys that have already been to a Stanley Cup and won a Stanley Cup. Not only won one, they've won twice.
Nah, it's Colorado's times, year, though.
I feel like they're due. So I'm going to go a gentlemanly sweep on this one for Colorado. Don't fail me because I'm gonna get a lot of grief going in if they don't win this one. But yeah, I feel like they're due. So moving on, the NBA season could be over tonight, guys, and teams are already making moves for next season. First, you have the Denver Nuggets trading Jamichael Green.
Who will get waived, by the way.
For a first round draft pick. And yesterday, you had the Houston Rockets trading Christian Wood to the Dallas Mavs for the number 26 pick in this year's draft and four players with expiring contracts. Do you think either of these moves will move the needle in the Western Conference?
I love the move for the Mavericks. I mean, those are four guys, again, not just on contract years that didn't really do much in the postseason. Christian Wood, listen, talking to some people around the league, you know, may have some problems. Huge upside. I will defer to our guys here. I mean, listen, I love what the Mavericks done. I don't think either moves the needle, but I do like that move a ton for the Mavericks.
I think the move is like Boban to Houston. No, I'm kidding. To Houston. No, I love Boban.
Everyone loves Boban.
Everyone loves Boban. That's the guy. I actually wish he would play more minutes. Like he definitely changes the pace of the game. But going back to the Mavericks trade, I disagree, Arash. I do think it moves the needle. Luka Doncic was so close to a championship, getting to the NBA Finals. If they find a way to use the Bird rights to retain Brunson, I mean, they got to be the second favorite behind the Warriors. I mean, maybe behind the Clippers and the Nuggets if they're healthy too, maybe fourth, but they definitely have a better shot. Wood is the perfect complement to Dinwiddie and Doncic with his ability to get to the rim with a multitude of moves, hit threes, better defender every single year he's improving. So
I love Christian Wood. I love the addition. I just think that when you look at the Dallas roster, he might actually end up coming off the bench and being like a six man for them. It depends what they want to do with the roster, but I think that Dwight Powell and the defense that he gives them is more valuable to their team in the starting lineup. But regardless, it doesn't matter because this Mavericks team is loaded with talent now, and they're going to add Christian Wood and Tim Hardaway Jr. They have to re-sign Jalen.
Sleeping Russell, on though. Wood's defense, man. It's going to get better with Jason Kidd. Trust me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it moves the needle for the Mavericks from being a 5 seed to a 4 seed. I don't have them in the top three. Again, I'm very high on the Clippers. If they are healthy, I think I think they are right.
They always
there
find
with
a way to choke, though. So.
Listen, if they choke, they choke. I'm more worried about them being healthy. If they are healthy, they're going to be... I don't think they're going to beat the Warriors, but listen, I mean, at least they'll be in the hunt. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Nick Hamilton when we return on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown when the underground, when we come around.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment, or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Los Angeles, Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline, 310-400-0340. All right, let's go out to the Circa Sports guest hotline. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit circusports.com for details. Here he is, our good friend Nick Hamilton. Nick, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. Happy birthday to the late, great Tupac Shakur, a.k.a. Machiavelli the Don.
That's right. And by the way, if you folks out there who can go have not checked out the Tupac Museum in downtown Los Angeles, it is amazing. I'm glad they extended it. It was supposed to be done in May. I think I don't know how long, but definitely want to encourage people to go check that out. It was incredible. Nick, I saw you for game one of the Freeway Series. Were you there last night?
Briefly, but yeah, I was gonna,
well, here's why I bring that up, because unless you know, sometimes you and certainly me, if we don't have to do anything post game, we leave. And what is your thoughts if you are not there for a potential no hitter? I mean, are you fine with that? Are you a little bit like, man, I should have stayed?
Depends on the moment.
Yeah.
I think, you know, depends on the moment and the player. First of all, congratulations to Tyler Anderson, who pitched masterfully when it came to his innings that he pitched against the Angels to sweep the Angels in the first part of the Freeway Series. It depends on who the pitcher is, to be honest with you. And it's no disrespect to Tyler Anderson, because I think Tyler Anderson is a phenomenal pitcher, along with Tony Gosselin. It's probably the two best pitchers the Dodgers have currently that have been consistent up until this point. But, yeah, sometimes you miss them, sometimes you don't. You know, we've been in this business quite a while, Arash. Sometimes we'll get it, and sometimes we don't. But as long as we know we can witness it in some way, shape, or form, we'll be all right.
Your thoughts on that two-game series, again, I think it was a crucial series for both teams. Both teams were struggling at the time, obviously, one not as much as the other. But two big wins for the Dodgers. Your thoughts on the significance of that?
Well, I think it was huge. I think it was a more of a confidence booster for the Dodgers, who actually, like we said, came off a three-game losing streak against their hated rivals in the San Francisco Giants over the weekend. So they had to find their winning ways. Obviously, Mookie Betts found the home run that he needed to find in that series, as well as, like I said, great masterful pitching by Tony Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson. I think the Angels look more lost than the playing the Bermuda Triangle, because they have no identity. They don't know which end is up. The only thing I think the most appealing and the most memorable moment for the Angels is when Mike Trout robbed a home run from Chris Taylor.
Yeah.
And we know how great Mike Trout is. He's arguably one of the greatest hitters of our generation. But that was the only only bright spot for the Angels. Other than that, I mean, you fired a Hall of Fame manager in Joe Maddon for what? And they're continuing to lose. Nothing has turned around. It's not like what the Phillies did with Joe Girardi, when they fired Joe Girardi and then went on this big, you know, winning streak, and you say, okay, well, maybe Joe Girardi was the answer on why they weren't winning the way they should have been winning. But in this case, for the Angels, it's not. So it's going to be interesting to see what transpires all the way up until the All-Star break for this Angels club, because I don't think Phil Nevin is the answer. I think he's a Band-Aid on something that requires stitches and rehabilitation. But for the Dodgers, great push in the right direction. They have a nice homestand. They got the Cleveland Guardians of the baseball galaxy coming to town. So that's going to be interesting to see how they fare off in that four-game series. And I think they should be able to take three out of four from the Cleveland Guardians of the baseball galaxy, and then continue back on their winning ways as they continue to be one of the best baseball teams in the major leagues.
Nick, we have found out today that Sue Bird is officially retiring following this season. Again, we thought that she may have retired a year ago. She came back. Just put into context, you know, the career that Sue has had.
You know, Sue Bird has been a phenomenal just player all across the board. I mean, she's a multi-time champion, Olympic gold medalist, all-star, a multi-time all-star player. And it's interesting, when I listened to her on J.J. Redick's podcast, and they talked about super teams. And it was interesting how she came up and said, you know what, her and Diana Taurasi never talked about creating a super team, much like how we've seen the Boston Celtics do in 08 or the Miami Heat or even the L.A. Lakers in their time. So it's been interesting to hear, you know, stories like that. But Sue Bird has been a phenomenal ambassador to not only just the women's game, but to the game of basketball itself. It's going to be different to see her not on the floor playing the game that she so loves and has endured over the course of time and really open up the doors and really put the Seattle Storm on the map between her and Lauren Jackson. But when you think about the Seattle Storm, when you think about the WNBA, one of the faces that you do think about is Sue Bird. I know we talk about the greatness of Diana Taurasi and Candace Parker, the Maya Moores of the world, but Sue Bird has definitely transitioned the game of basketball, and to me, really elevated the women's game itself to create more opportunities and doors for young ladies to play this game.
Hey, Nick, thank you so much again for coming 2 days in a row, man. It's like a treat.
Hey, bro. Thank y'all. I appreciate it.
It's a huge treat. Speaking of the WNBA, who do you think that the new face will be? Because, I mean, we have multiple different faces. We have Candace Parker. We have, you know, Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird as well. Who do you think the next generation of the face of the WNBA might possibly be to take to take her place?
You have to look at Asia Wilson. I think Asia Wilson is one of those faces that you have to pay attention to. I mean, she's electric. She is so multifaceted, not just what she does on the court, but off the court as well. She's extremely marketable. She's just a phenomenal ambassador to the game. And I think you have to look at the young rookie, Ryan Howard, who is with the Atlanta Dream. I think she has an opportunity to really do some damage. I think there's a couple of faces in the WNBA that really stand out to me.
Are you high on Ida Wasku?
I love Sabrina. I think Sabrina is definitely, but she, unfortunately, she's in that transition period where they're trying to find their way and find their identity and get to some winning ways where they actually can make, you know, some significant deep playoff runs to really push her name out there. But I think Sabrina is a phenomenal, talented player. She has a very high basketball IQ. She's marketable. She's in the number one market in New York City, so how could you not be when you're in that market? But I think, like I said, the person that stands out to me the most would be, besides Sabrina, like I said, I think Asia Wilson. I think the only thing that's missing from Asia Wilson's resume is a championship, which could very much happen this season the way they've been on this tier as the best team in the WNBA in the Las Vegas Aces.
Nick, are you looking forward to the draft? I think it's weird. Like, as soon as the finals are done, we got the draft, and our good friend co-host Brandon Deutsch has the top two rounds, round by round, pick by pick. Are you excited about the draft, or do you wish there was a kind of a gap where you can take a quick breath, I guess?
Honestly, Arash, I don't give a damn about the draft. Like, who cares? There's nothing. You know, you remember when the draft used to be exciting when you got to watch guys come out of college and you'd say, man, that dude might be a number one or number two or, you know, top five pick. Nowadays, it's like, okay, and because it's such high turnover because of this one-and-done rule in the college game, it doesn't give you a true opportunity to really get to know these guys and really get to know these players as far as saying, okay, you watch them develop from their freshman year to possibly their junior year, and then having them opportunity to come out. Hopefully guys will be able to stay in a little bit longer with the new NIL rule where they can get compensated for their services while playing collegiate ball. But I think it doesn't really give the enthusiasm as it used to when you had guys coming out and saying, okay, I'm going to watch this kid because this kid is something special.
Now, I don't disagree with you. I college ball and me, it's like bread and butter. It's a great combination. So I don't disagree with you on that one. I'd love to see these guys develop. I would love, you know, the back in the day when you had Leitner be there for 4 years and then go into the NBA, you had, you know, Grant Hill stay 4 years ago. And I would love to see that. But you had a number one draft pick, Kobe Bryant, who didn't even go to college. And we see him in, you know, in stardom. You see, you know, the LeBron James of the world, you know, and we all knew that he was going to be a stud, and he was going to be a star, and he was going into the draft, and those were like really exciting moments, right? So are you discounting that as well? Because that's what we're in right now. We're in a different era of one and dones being the new stars of these drafts.
See, I found Jihei's future, you know, career. She's going to be in politics because she loves twisting the words around like a pretzel factory. No, it's not what I'm saying, Jihei. What I'm saying is, listen, how many LeBrons, how many Kobes, how many Kevin Garnetts are in this particular draft? Because I haven't heard a much buzz about anybody on that level. Now, I'm sure there's some good players that are out there that are in the draft that are going to be able to contribute significantly to their respectable NBA team, but I have not seen or heard of an individual or individuals of those calibers that we mentioned in this particular draft or even in last year's draft. So until I find somebody of that caliber where everybody is buzzing, I mean, the last time we had a real buzz was Zion Williamson. That was the last time we had a real buzz.
That's 2 years ago, man!
Also, Nick, Cade Cunningham didn't have that buzz to you? Because that's a future superstar right there.
Keyword, future.
Well, yeah, that is true, but they're all going to have, this is the future. That's the whole point. They're not going to be great entering the league. There's not many LeBrons. Rookie, you're right. Like,
what rookie have you, go on, Brandon.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, like, this, like, Nick's right in the sense, like, not as many people care anymore because there's not a culture of watching these people develop in college. Like, when I evaluated all these prospects, it was, like, I didn't know half of these guys, only since high school, right? Most of these guys don't even stay. That's a problem that needs to be fixed, obviously. But there's always a Giannis Antetokounmpo or a Nikola, not always, but there could be in this draft, you know, that kind of falls through the cracks and becomes an NBA star. Like, that's always a possibility. Like, that's kind of where the trajectory of this draft, like, these drafts are going. Right. There's not a LeBron, there's not a Kobe, but there's a Nikola Jokic, there's a Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, that could be a sleeper and become an NBA superstar, right? And it's all about development.
Well, and I don't disagree with you. I think that it's definitely about development. It's about what team, you know, picks you and then says, you know what, we're going to cultivate you and we're going to, you know, rise you from the ashes, so to speak, or whatever, and, you know, make you this great player. But it's in them. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe it's just me because I actually do attempt to do research prior to the draft, and so do you, Brandon.
Yeah.
But we knew that certain people were going to be stars. We knew that certain people were going to be, and I think maybe just for people as a whole, they just don't know, right? And then maybe.
So
Nick.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let me ask you this question. So you knew Jordan Poole was going to be a star?
I knew he'd be good. No, I mean, I didn't know. It's all about development, though.
No, you're right. You're right.
No, I don't think anybody did except the Warriors.
Including his coach, who did not draft him. Because people were like, what the heck does his coach know? He passed on him as well.
Did you know Kyle Kuzma was going to be some sort of a star?
No.
No, I did not think that Kyle Kuzma was going to be a star.
Well, once you got that man out of L.A., I mean, it was a different story.
And
right, but I'm saying why he was in L.A., because my point is...
Oh, no, he was a bum in L.A., dude.
I had high hopes.
I'm not going to call him a bum.
I had high...
He wasn't a bum.
No, he wasn't a bum. And he did improve defensively, you're right.
I had higher expectations once he came to L.A., I think.
Okay, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, my point is, these guys were low first-round draft picks, basically. When I say Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma, they were low first-round draft picks. And they were significant in their respectable teams at the times that they were drafted, right? It took, like Brandon said, it took time to develop. My point is, there was not a lot of buzz about Jordan Poole. There was not a lot of buzz about Kyle Kuzma. Now, like I said, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, we watched these guys develop. There was buzz around these two individuals that were drafted. But that was the last time we really got a chance to really see these guys not only buzz in college, but to be able to elevate, especially Ja Morant with the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, Zion can't seem to keep his mouth shut when it comes to food. And that's why he's been on the team.
Yeah, he does need to lose weight.
Dressing like
But that's the NBA's fault, for not promoting these guys more?
No.
Whose fault is it then?
No, listen, the best ability is availability, right? So to me, yes, they're small markets. But at the same time, the NBA could the NBA do a better job at promoting some of these stars? or more doing more to promote some of these stars? Absolutely. But it also, in this day and age, with social media, with all their side deals, as far as the, from, you know, the deals they get from these various companies, they're going to be able to promote themselves. Now, will they get an opportunity to promote themselves once they get into bigger markets? Absolutely, because the markets do count. Doesn't matter how much the NBA promotes you. If you're in a smaller market, if you're not one of the top five media markets, then you're not going to get as much promotion as you would as a person that's in the, one of the top five media markets. That's just how it goes.
100%. And it's also like the NCAA and ESPN and networks tried to promote Paulo, what is it, Banchero. And like the problem was he's just not that exciting compared to like other players in the past couple of years. I think that's another thing. Right?
Yeah, you got to have personality. You got to have charisma. You got to have personality.
Well, his game is just not exciting. He doesn't fit the modern NBA, in my opinion.
He is marketable, though. He, like, I will give Paulo this. Like, he is very,
he's slow and doesn't play defense, yet everyone thinks he's going to be a superstar.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir. I told you already that I don't think he's going to be a bust.
Wait, what is he elite at? That's the thing. Like, that's what, how is he a top three prospect? Like, this goes to Nick's point. He can go get a bucket. Like, congratulations. You want a medal to last in the NBA? You need to play defense, right? Especially as a big.
I agree, but he, if you looked at him towards the end of the season, he did pick up that D. D is all about effort, too. So, like, he's just going to have to.
And he's a big body. I'll give him that. But the thing is, this goes back to Nick's point. These players are not as exciting anymore as well. It's another thing.
You guys are agreeing?
Well, also,
no, there's no way that Nick and Brandon can agree. That's
no, absolutely not. I refuse to agree with Brandon. But no, I mean, I think you make Brandon make a valid point. And also too, you got to have personality and charisma. If you don't have that, and I think a lot of guys don't have that, or don't understand the effect of marketing and advertising and branding. People know what branding is, but they don't ingratiate themselves into the branding model to be able to advertise and sponsor themselves to be, make themselves an entity. They still look at themselves as just players, but when you get to a certain level, you're no longer just a player. You are an entity. You know, in the words of my man Jay-Z, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. Let me handle my business. Damn. And that's what they have to, that's the mentality that these kids have to come into it with. And then when you look at Zion Williamson, when you look at Ja Morant, these are why these guys are still elevating in the directions that they are, whether they're playing or not, because they understood the assignment.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I was just going to add one last thing to this. It's also like a lot of the personality guys like Jaden Hardy, Dyson Daniels, you know, Jalen Green from last year, they go to the G League now. Yeah. So this is something that, you know, there's a complete different side of promotion rather than just the NCAA basketball. And Mikey Williams is probably going to do the same thing. I doubt he goes to college. I mean, he's probably going to go to G, and that guy's the most, I wouldn't say marketable guy, but one of the more marketable prospects in recent memory with his brand. So where he goes is going to be important in how the trajectory of the future of promoting these prospects goes.
Wait, so what happened with that? I mean, will we see more high school kids go to the G League?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
100%. Yeah. They're going to go get their bag and play against professional players.
But the new rule, has that changed it where I can go to Duke and make like $2 million?
Yeah, maybe? Yeah. I mean, it definitely,
with the NIL?
Yeah.
It definitely, you know, gives them options. But I just think at this time, like the NCAA just isn't the same product it used to be.
Yeah.
And kids know that.
For me, though, I would rather go to a Duke, right, and make your bag, because you could still do that. Nick, I mean, tell me what you would do. If you got a $2 million deal from a G League team or $2 million from Duke, like, I still could go to Duke, right?
I'd go to North Carolina. I would
or,
never
or, or sorry. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. North Carolina. Okay, but like, I think the stage in college, just having those big games and the tournament, like, even if with the G League, they paid me slightly more. But if you're with a big-time program, right? I mean, now you can legally make a ton of money. Gee, I mean, would you go G League or... Let's just say for you, Duke.
I mean, I'm going to be biased.
It's different for you. Yeah,
I'm going to be super, super biased. So this is like the worst question for me.
For you, yeah.
But I mean, if this was like my kid, or if this was, you know, maybe even just me as an individual, and, you know, depending on your circumstances, the G League might not be a bad option. You know what I mean? Because, and you're playing against actual professionals.
Yeah,
versus you're playing against college kids. But again, I'm biased on this, so I would just go to Duke.
I would go to a D1 school because you got TV rights, you have, and then if you get into the tournament, you got all this exposure in addition to making money. Right now, the G League is not on the level of the NCAA as far as advertising sponsorship. Now, I think they will get there at some point, but that may take the next 5 to 7 years before you start seeing that. So I think if I were a D1 athlete, a 5-star, a 4-star recruit, I'm going to a D1 school, USC, Michigan, North Carolina, that other school up Tobacco Road.
Oh, forget you, man.
No, because here's the thing. If you play your cards right, you'll get that stage. You'll be in Los Angeles or New York or something like that. Nick, you're the best. 2 days in a row. Thank you so much for that.
Happy Father's Day, Nick.
Happy Father's Day, my friend. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.